Professional civil service as we know it replaced the pure patronage system about a century ago. Scandals at the Veterans Affairs Department have touched off a debate about whether civil servants are sufficiently accountable now. Some proposals would make employees at will once again, a return to the spoils system. Jeff Neal thinks there's a better way. The former Homeland Security Personnel Chief and now Senior VP at ICF International writes about it at federalnewsradio.com, and he joins me now. And Jeff, you've been looking at some of the proposals out there for accountability, and you're saying it makes it look to you like the spoils system.
Yes, it does. When I look at these proposals, particularly people who want to make federal employees at will, I just don't see how, if we do that, we avoid a return to a spoils system. And if you recall from your history, what used to happen is every time there was a change of administrations, massive numbers of federal employees would be fired because they were patronage appointments, and then a bunch of new people would come in. So if we did something like that today, you know, even if it was only a small percentage of the federal workforce, we could end up with the equivalent of several hundred thousand new political appointees every 4 years. And I don't know anybody from either side of the political spectrum who believes that adding a few hundred thousand federal political appointees to the government would be a really good thing to do. So I started looking at that and thinking, well, you know, if we're going to have some sort of reform, and I think it's pretty apparent that some sort of reform is going to happen. There's just so much pressure. You know, there's pressure from the Republicans on the Hill, from good government groups outside of government, from federal employees who believe their agencies do a lousy job of dealing with poor performers. You know, there's so much pressure that something is going to have to be done. So I started looking at what kind of characteristics would a reformed accountability process in civil service have. And you know, accountability is a pretty way of saying firing people. So I call it accountability, but I think a lot of people looking at it would say, oh, you're talking about firing people. And the answer is, yes, I am. So what would it look like if we did that and did it in a way that didn't lead to a spoil system? And I came up with several options.
And one of the things you did come up with is the idea that the people that purport to do the firing should have some accountability of their own.
Absolutely. Accountability starts at the top. So, you know, there are a lot of people in this town who think that when you have a problem that you're supposed to go find some scapegoat, usually the lowest person in the organization you could plausibly blame for the problem, and then fire that person and say, well, look at this, we solved the problem. But a lot of times, that's not what causes problems in agencies. Many problems in agencies are caused by bad management, by bad leaders, by bad agency heads. And I think the President of the United States, whether it's this one or the next one or one 100 years from now, ought to be more willing to take out an agency head when they are leading an agency that's having significant problems. And those agency heads ought to be more willing to get rid of their senior political appointees, many of whom they chose. And then those people, if they knew that they were on the bubble, would be more likely to deal with problems in their senior executive force and so on. And so rather than starting at the bottom and trying to find somebody we can blame, we should start at the top and make it very clear to people that when you take on the responsibility of running an agency or a part of an agency, that you're accountable for results in that organization. And I think if you don't start at the top, then you have a real problem.
And you also say that the changes to the discipline process are needed, and that's really maybe what the issue is that's plaguing at least the VA right now.
Yeah, I think so. The discipline processes are cumbersome, they're convoluted, they take forever, and that's one of the real problems. You know, somebody can commit an offense, and you end up not actually taking action against them for 6 months or a year later in many cases. The appeals processes are too complex, they're too long, there are too many of them. The typical employee can either file an appeal to MSPB if they've been suspended for more than, you know, for 15 days or more, or downgraded or fired. They can file a complaint through the EEO process and eventually end up at EEOC. If they're in a bargaining unit, they can file a grievance and go to arbitration.
We're speaking with Jeff Neal, Senior Vice President at ICF International and former HR Chief at Homeland Security. And that grievance process, how's that working for the most part?
Well, grievance and arbitration processes actually work pretty well. They tend to be a lot faster than an MSPB appeal or an EEO complaint. And what happens is employees file a grievance within the agency. It gets addressed within the agency, and then if they're not happy, they go to an arbitrator who's an independent outside third party. The reason I didn't recommend that as the alternative for everything is that agencies do have to pay for arbitrators. And also, arbitration does tend to have a little bit different outcomes than EEO complaints and MSPB appeals. And that's because arbitrators get hired individually every time they do an arbitration, and they want to keep both sides happy. So they tend to try to balance their decisions and keep both sides happy. Go to a single process using MSPB or creating another agency to do it, and have all employee appeals go through one centralized process that's dramatically streamlined from what we have now, and that doesn't have all the trappings of a trial that the current MSPB and EEOC processes have. I think that would be much faster, and it would make people more likely to actually take disciplinary actions if they thought that they would be resolved in a much more rapid manner.
And something happened with the VA specifically, and that is that some cases of dismissal were thrown out because the board didn't disagree that, or the judges didn't disagree that they were should not have been disciplined, but they just didn't like the discipline reaction that was given, the penalties. And so you're saying maybe the body conducting appeals, that sounds like the MSPB, would have the right to mitigate the punishment, even as they kept the fact that the discipline was legitimate in the first place.
Absolutely. What happened with the VA is that they only, MSPB only has the ability to say yes or no. So they couldn't take a removal, for example, and mitigate it to a downgrade, or a downgrade and mitigate it to a 60-day suspension. And so they concluded that the only alternative they had, because they thought the penalty was too harsh, was to cancel the penalty and everything entirely. That really wasn't what was intended, I think, with that VA legislation. It was just kind of sloppy legislation that wasn't very well written. So anybody who's hearing an appeal, I think, really does need to be able to mitigate the penalty if they think it's too harsh. I do think there should be some limits on that mitigation, and there should be some fairly high standards, so MSPB's not just randomly substituting its judgment for the judgment of an agency head. But some ability to mitigate penalties has to be there, or the process won't work very well. We've seen that with the VA cases now.
Now, the VA proposed legislation would take Title V employees and move them into Title 38, where doctors and nurses are. And the case law under Title V has been that federal employees have a constitutional right to their jobs. That's not true under Section 38. What's your thought about that idea of moving the senior executives and hospital administrators and so forth into Title 38?
Well, the VA proposal right now would move people who are in the healthcare process, you know, like people running clinics and folks like that, under Title 38. I think that might work for VA, given the nature of their mission and the type of business they're in. From my understanding, though, is that Title 38 is kind of a cumbersome process as well. And so it may make it better for them. It actually would also enable them to pay those folks a little more if they wanted to, because Title 38 has much higher pay available to it. So, I think for some jobs in the VA that idea may work, and it'll be interesting to see how it turns out. A lot of their other jobs, like their administrative type jobs and the IT people and folks like that, would stay under Title V. And so they would have an opportunity to run two systems side by side and see how they work. So it might be kind of an interesting controlled experiment to see how it would work, and if it would be a better way to have employee accountability. I would like to see how it works out.
Jeff Neal, a senior vice president at ICF International, former HR chief at Homeland Security. Thanks so much for that commentary.
Thanks, Tom. Delighted to be here.
You can read his blog and share this interview with colleagues at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.